We've got open lines for you now this hour. The lines are open now. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got open lines. Into the phones we go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Cheryl, and I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I was living in Steamboat Springs, and we were all, it was the beginning of the ski season, and we were all hot tub hopping from hotel to hotel, and we were jumping in and out of the car, and I jumped in a car and to sit on someone's lap, and he slammed the door, and I had my hand on the top of the car. And
ouch.
He slammed the door, and the door, it was a cheap, I think it was a Honda Civic, a little square one. And the door actually at the top bent open and didn't hurt my hand at all.
You lucked out.
Well, I just, at the time,
or...
I didn't know anything about miracles or angels or anything like that. But my hand wasn't harmed at all. And being a massage therapist, I really just believe I was being protected.
By the good people.
Yeah, by, I don't know. At the time, I didn't know anything. I just.
What about luck, Cheryl? Do you think you just had some good old-fashioned luck?
It could have been just luck.
But then again, maybe not. Thanks for the call. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going? This is Matt. How's it going? I'm calling from New York.
Good, man.
I'm actually a first-time listener. I actually tuned in my radio to listen to the news, and I came across your program. Actually, I had a couple things I
sure.
wanted to comment about. I guess when I was younger, I was probably like 4 or 5, and I used to live next door to a church. And I remember going in and, like, opening the door because I was curious, and I'd like, look in the church. And, I could have sworn I saw, like a dragon or something in the church. And you know, years later, here I am, and I still think about it, you know, and I'm like, did I see something, or was I just losing my mind? The other thing is I see your show is like based on like UFOs and all that stuff.
It runs the gamut, Matt. It covers everything, you know. I'd like to call it a show that deals with us. And if it includes UFOs and Bigfoot and conspiracies and health matters, that's what we'll do.
Right. Well, I want to comment about that. I work at a military installation, and I really don't believe in the UFO thing, you know, but I do see some strange things going on. A couple years ago, I did see some stuff, and my brother was actually in the Air Force, and he said the airport sends out, like, a drone that, like, takes aerial pictures.
Sure.
Of the ground.
That's very possible.
You know, and what I did see this thing, and it was huge, and it scared me. But,
tell me why you don't believe. Do you believe in life out there? Maybe they haven't come here yet, but do you think there's life on other systems?
I got to say that it's possible. I definitely believe that we're not the only ones out there.
Okay, so we'll give you that because I agree with that. But you don't think they have come here?
It's tough. Like, I don't know how to answer that. Possibly. You never know.
People think they've been coming here for a long time. Hey, thanks. I'm glad you found us.
Thanks.
Okay, let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, George. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I was wondering if anybody had surveyed any of the bodies of water in the Stephen Fawcett search area. I'm not sure if there are any at all, but any of the large ponds or small lakes in that area. Has anyone tried, like, a hook line? Maybe he landed in one of those, like I said, bodies of water, and maybe his plane sunk? Maybe that's why we haven't been able to see it through, like...
No, and they have given up the search, and I know Ed Dames is still trying to get into a specific location, the remote viewer, because he claims that he still thinks he knows where he is. But it's incredible. I mean, this is a vanishing act, and it's gone. He's gone.
Has the body water theory even been brought up before, even when they were doing an all full-scale search? Were they even thinking about that?
You're the first person to bring it up.
How unfortunate, man. I wish they would have.
I mean, he's a great, great man. I don't know. You know, Steve Fawcett brought us hours of... just fascinating, riveting everything. You know, his missions. I remember when he tried one of his first solo balloon flights, and his command post was at Washington University here in St. Louis. And I mean, these guys were working around the clock with him. I mean, it was a great story. And he didn't make it on that trip, but he was safe. And what an adventurer. And for him to merely just vanish and disappear this way just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that he didn't have a cell phone. It doesn't make sense that he didn't have GPS working. Nothing makes sense. Whatever happened to that plane, assuming that it was, a conventional disaster, I think the high winds flipped him over and he was a goner just like that. And he couldn't react. West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bellingham, Washington. I'm Jason.
Okay. Hi, Jason.
I'm actually just calling with a quick comment about the prior guest from last hour.
Okay.
And actually, I don't have a college degree or anything like that, but I'm just calling because I want to make sure that people actually, check with their doc before they go off any kind of meds or anything like that. He might have a great point. I mean, I definitely don't know as much as he does, but there could be some people that are, like schizophrenic or very sick or something like that, that, perhaps need the drugs. So I was kind of feeling.
We always warn people to make sure that, this is a situation between their doctors and themselves,
right.
And nobody should ever just get off their prescribed drugs.
Right.
Because they hear someone say, hey, there's a natural way, go about it. I think there's a combination of both. I think modern medicine has done some remarkable things.
Oh, yeah, I'm proof of it, actually. I'm embarrassed and everything about it, but I have bipolar disorder, which, it's like the common thing now. Everybody's got bipolar. But
and tell me what you think bipolar is, because a lot of people are a little confused about that.
The thing with me is that it's definitely the mood swings. And there's different types of bipolar, because I've definitely looked it up and researched it. And, I have hypo bipolar, where my lows are very lows and my highs are in the mid-range, meaning my moods swing from normal to very, very low. I don't have the manic depression, you know what I mean? I don't
right.
Go to the top part. But I went on a drug called Lamictal after trying a ton of them. And it did wonders for me. I was kind of a bad person before.
Well, were these mood swings for you, were they like instantly, or were they would you wake up in the morning and have one and it would stay the whole day, whether it was a high or a low, and then the next day it would go away and you'd be the other way?
It just would depend, and it could be instant. And a lot of the times it was so low that I wouldn't even notice. I mean, my lows, I always described to my wife and anybody I talked to about it, that my lows were almost robotic. I was so depressed. I couldn't walk. I couldn't think. And I was so down that, I had suicidal thoughts, but I mean, it was almost so suicidal or whatever that I wouldn't even act, just because I was so robotic and so empty. You know what I mean? And then my highs, I would be normal. I'd be active and everything like that. And it would happen, like you said, kind of instantaneously. I don't even know what triggered it, I have no idea.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're doing okay. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Angelina from New York City.
Angelina, I'm doing great.
Yeah. Well, good. I have kind of a joke with immoral, and it's one of those, it's quick and it's clean. It's one of those things that you either get or you don't. And I told this to Art, and he just didn't get it. So I want to see what your reaction was.
Well, if I don't get it either, don't. All right, go ahead.
No. I won't take it personally. But,
right.
Okay, anyway. There was a grandmother walking along the beach with her beloved little grandson. And suddenly there was lightning, thunder, and a giant wave came and just took the grandson off to sea. So the grandmother was distraught, and she fell to her knees, and she looked up to the sky, and she said, "Oh, Lord, I know I bother you for stupid things all the time. Just bring my grandson back, and I will never bother you again, Lord. Just please bring him back." So anyway, there was another more lightning, more thunder. Another giant wave brings the grandson back to her feet. So she looks down at the child, and she looks up to the sky, and she says, "He was wearing a hat. Where is his hat?"
Okay. That was all right.
Yeah.
Kind of cute.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not, you know, barroom talk, but...
No, I mean, it's not one of those gut-wrenching jokes where you would fall on the floor and laugh and
cry. Well,
actually,
people do.
Have you ever laughed so hard you cried?
No, but I've laughed so hard I've almost fallen on the floor that I can attest to. How about
okay.
you?
Well, yeah, I have. I've laughed so hard, I've cried. I mean, this was not one of those, but it was cute. It was cute. It meant basically she got what she wanted, but she wanted it all.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the message. See, I got it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George. Thanks for taking the call. This is Claude from Indiana.
Hi, Claude.
I wanted to share with you an experience I had some years ago of an individual that approached me on three different occasions about going to take his life. And on a Saturday evening, my wife and I are sitting in our living room, and between 8 and 9 o'clock, I get this awful sick feeling like I was going to vomit, and I couldn't hardly breathe. And I said to my wife, I don't know what's going on, and it lasted for about 10 or 12 minutes. And so... it relieved, and then we went ahead and retired and went to bed. And shortly after midnight, the telephone rang, and from a source that had learned over the scanner that this person that had approached me on three occasions prior to this had hung himself.
Oh.
And it was during the period of time that I was sitting in my living room and had that feeling.
And what do you attribute to this? This gift.
Only the fact that he'd approached me that he was going to do this, and I tried to talk him out of it. That, you know, I just contribute to the fact that it had happened, and I had this feeling, and I'd been thinking about him anyway, see?
See, that feeling, how do you explain that feeling?
Well, I think the feeling is the spirit that we contain, the spirit of God or the spirit of evil, and... you know, I felt a spirit of evil going through me, and I felt like it was something that shouldn't be.
Well, okay. Well, you might be right about that. First-time caller line, good morning. You're on the air.
Would that be me?
It would be, I think.
George, it's an absolute honor, man. My name is Ricky. I'm in Redmond, Oregon.
Hi.
You're deathly afraid of clowns, isn't that right?
I don't like clowns. It's not that I'm, you know, petrified of them. I just don't like them. If I had my way and I saw a clown coming, I'd probably go the other way.
And they've never done anything to you, right?
No. I've never been accosted by a clown or anything.
I have the same problem, George, but I'm terrified of law enforcement officers.
Why?
Well, I don't know. They've never done anything to me either, but I see one and I just freak.
Like you did something wrong?
No, I just, maybe it was because my dad was a cop. Who knows? I'm going to segue right into my other comment here.
Okay, sure.
A couple of weeks ago, there was that younger law enforcement officer, I think it was in Wisconsin or Minnesota, who went ballistic and capped all of his girlfriend's friends at a pizza party. Did you hear about that?
No. What happened?
Yeah, he was a 20-year-old full-time sheriff, part-time cop. His underage girlfriend had dumped him. And
Yes. I did hear about that.
Okay. When they first put the story out, they said he was dropped by a police sniper's bullet. 2 days later, they said that the wounds to his head were indicative of self-inflicted wounds. Three times. George, three gunshot wounds to the head. That's one dedicated individual.
Yeah. I guess the head is, isn't it? Wildcard line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. My name is Eric. I'm from Lake Tahoe.
Hey, Eric.
I had a comment on global warming, but first I wanted to tell you a story about an experience I had in South America.
What happened there?
Well, I was traveling down in the lakes region or the southern region of Chile, and I was on an island called Chiloé. And I had met a local Mapuche indigenous man who brought me out to his land and introduced me to his family and whatnot. And he brought me to an archaeological museum where they had discovered a couple fossilized bodies on the land there. And it reminded me of Michael Cremo in the interviews that I've heard with you And I know that you were very interested in it. And my girlfriend at the time, who is very sensitive to subtle energies, had taken this rock that they had found placed up against the head of one of these fossilized human remains. And she put it up against her head and immediately got this rush of energy from the life of this individual. And it affected her emotionally for a few days afterwards. And she had trouble describing it other than extremely intense. But the bodies, they said that there was no way that they could have been 5,000 years old like the people who the archaeologists who came and took the remains away said they were. They said they had to be like at least 100, 200,000 years old.
I mean, what do you think?
Well, I, after hearing Michael Cremo's work and interviews with you,
and they could have been even older than that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they said one was mummified and one was fossilized.
I mean, Cremo believes mankind is hundreds of millions of years old.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I've definitely heard quite a few theories on, you know, evidence pointing towards, you know, seeding and, you know, repetitive growth of culture and society and going back a long time.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Sure. Have a great night.
Yeah, yep, you too. Let's go west of the Rockies. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful this morning. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I just had a comment. A lady called in earlier about getting her hand slammed in the door.
Yes, well, she didn't get slammed. She was okay. She lucked out.
Well, I got slammed in the door. I was trying to get out of the back seat, and I put my hand up.
Ouch.
And my daughter who was in the front seat, and she locked the door, then slammed it. So my whole hand was locked into the door. And instead of unlocking it and letting me out, she just kind of bent over in pain because she knew I was in pain. And so it took a few minutes, but my hand didn't get broke.
It didn't?
No, although it was severe pain, but it was
all right. Oh, come on now. You mean the next day you could move your fingers and your hand and no problem?
I'm a drummer, and I can move every finger.
No, that's all right. You caught yourself.
Yes, without a problem.
All right, give me that traditional drum thing after a funny joke. What is that? What do they do? They go pop-bum or...
It's bang. Oh, great. You had to put me on the spot there.
There you go.
I'm driving down the road.
It's called a rim shot. It's the rim shot.
The rim shot. Right on. But I thought maybe you'd want to hear that.
All right. I appreciate it. Hey, I'll be back in just a second with more open lines. If you need to reach me, simply send me an email at george@coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in a moment. On our next Coast to Coast program, a story I've been wanting to do for a long time, the Bilderberg Group, Daniel Estulin, our special guest, an award-winning journalist. This is going to be an incredible story, an incredible show. That's our next Coast to Coast program. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Does anybody have a pet alligator? If you can get through on these lines, I don't know if you can, tell me why you have a pet alligator. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Morgan.
Okay.
My name is CJ. I'm going to go by that for certain reasons.
Okay, CJ.
It's about alternative energy. The first question is, there was a gentleman, I think it was about a couple of years back, that was talking about zero energy. Whatever happened with them?
That was Dr. Eugene Malov. He was murdered.
Oh, jeez.
Now, they say he was murdered in a botched break-in on his parents' house. He happened to be there. Some punks apparently broke in there and killed him. But who knows?
Well, that's why I'm bringing up the other question. My uncle, who's came up with a lot of ideas and approached other people about, and someone else usually takes it, and then he came up with an idea about a self-propelled engine that would generate electricity about the size of a garage. It would generate electricity for a small town. And after a while, he started getting threatening calls. And my aunt gave me his information, and I have it, but I need to approach them without being used.
Whoa. Okay, well, first of all, what powers the engine?
Well, it's a device. It takes an engine to get it started, and you just have to, the way he explained it to me, it just took oil to keep it going, and it was just shortly afterwards, about 3 years ago, he suddenly passed away.
I mean, does it take a lot of oil to keep it going?
No, he just said it was just self-propelled, and he was
so oil just for lubrication.
Yeah, basically, but he needed someone who knew refrigeration and someone else that knew physics, and he had somebody supposedly in Florida, and no one seemed to know what's going on with it.
Did he ever build this?
No, because he owned his own business building, like motors and stuff, electronic motors, and refurbishing them.
All right, how did he know, if he never built it, that it would work?
It was just something that my aunt said he was working on for years, and he approached a couple other people, and one person said it was feasible. But, you know, he's got all these documents that I kept, and I put it on a CD, and I just thought maybe I can approach somebody and see if something can be done, because with things the way they are going on now with this oil, we need to start going to alternative, and it's going to take someone to finally do something that's got money.
Send me a special email, if you would, and I'll get this in the hands of the right people.
You know my name, CJ, then?
CJ it will be.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thank you. Have a great
evening. Yep. All right, it's George at coasttocoastam.com, and flag it, if you would. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? My name is Sam from New York.
Good, Sam.
I wanted to share an experience that I had. It was actually a dream. I was dreaming that I was inside of a bank, and at the time, it was being robbed. And I was standing inside the bank, looking around. I can see everything. I can see the guys with the guns. Everything was just so weird. And then I woke up, turned on the TV, and at that same exact moment, the same bank that I had just dreamed was actually happening. At that moment.
You've got one of those precognitive dreams, the ability to do this.
Yes, I did. Actually, there was another incident, which actually was pretty recent. The two firemen that passed away in New York here in the building.
Yes.
The night before, I had a dream. It was just so weird. I was in a fire truck, and as the fire truck was racing down the street, I saw a man standing. And the man was saying to me, a man will die, a fire will kill a man. And the next day, all I could think about was that. And I just so happened to work about 5 blocks away from that building. And all day long, I can see fire trucks passing, passing, passing. I said, geez, what's going on? I can't understand this. Because I knew, you know, the dream kept coming back to me. And when I heard that that person died, that the fireman died, my heart just dropped. And then the next day when I read in the papers where the one of the gentlemen lived was actually on my block.
Oh.
Could you believe that?
Yeah, you're picking up something, Sam. That's amazing.
Yeah, every time I think about it, it just boggles my mind. I'm like, what is going on?
Any more recurring dreams with anything?
There was one that I had with my mom before she passed away. It was a couple of years before she passed away.
Did you have a 9/11 dream?
No, I didn't have a 9/11
You did not?
Dream. No.
Okay.
It seems like, you know, if I'm close to that area, I pick something up. So, you know, I had the dream with my mom. She was walking around saying, look at my hair. It looks like a butterfly. Look at my hair. It looks like a butterfly. And 2 years later, she died of a brain tumor. And apparently the name of that brain tumor was called butterfly gleam.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Yeah. I want you to do me a favor.
Sure.
Because I know you listen to the program a lot. Mm-hmm. I want you to check in with us whenever you get these dreams. I want you to start going on record on this program.
Okay.
Okay? You know, some of these things obviously sound like they could be bigger news stories. Others, like your mother's passing, will probably, you know, we would have never have known until you let us know. But come back on the air with us and say, you know what, George, I had this dream, and this is what it was. I want to start keeping this. I want to track you.
Okay.
All right?
All righty.
That's
hey,
a deal.
Great talking to you.
Okay, Sam.
And you guys got a great show.
Okay, you're listening to us there on our number one rated WABC. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Well, I teased this again. I'm in the intensive care unit of UMC in Las Vegas.
You mean like right now?
Right this minute. Hooked up to an IV. I just had a triple bypass.
When did you have this?
A couple days ago. It was like meeting death, and
You're all hooked up.
Yeah.
And you're listening to me in the wee hours.
Yes,
in an intensive care room.
That's right.
Well, do you have like a pillow speaker on or something?
No, I had to smuggle a radio into the hospital, and the security found it, and they had a whole security team go over it. I said, look, it's an AM radio. I'm a ham radio operator. I have a right to have it. And they ended up cutting it all to pieces and taping it up. But the one that runs my heart monitor, I can make it run the radio. So my heart monitor battery dies on a regular basis. And then, of course, they come and replace it, and I put it in the radio so I can listen to you.
Well, let's not have such riveting information here. We don't want to send signals to the nurses out there monitoring
their
heart. I
don't care. Look, I tell them the truth. I say, look, I'm a grown adult. I've studied. I've done all my homework, got my degree. And if I want to listen to the radio, big deal.
First time for bypass for you?
Are you kidding? Yeah, that's a horrible, horrible operation.
It's going to take you seven weeks. It'll take you 7 weeks, and you'll be walking around. But in the meantime, you'll think that passing on was better, but you'll be okay.
Right. Listen, I wanted to tell you, I own a pet alligator, okay? An American alligator. And the reason it's such a great pet is because, for one thing, they live to be 99 years old plus. They make very good pets as far as obeying what you want. And it took me 5 years before I realized I could communicate with him, but actually you can learn to communicate signals back and forth. And after a while, I let the alligator kind of run the show to see where he's going to take it. And
where does he take it?
Well, it turns out it's about food for him. And he likes Outback prime rib the best. And if I supply him with Outback prime rib, he will do various activities for me, you know, displays of that he's happy about it. But if I feed him regular steak, I get about half that display. And if I feed him dog food, he won't even look at me for maybe a day.
Well, now, how big is this guy?
Well, I've had him for 15 years. And after he's got to 4.5 feet, and you can control the growth rate by how much you recirculate the water. In other words, I have a water filtration system, and I secrete in their urine a growth factor. So in times of drought where they have to all crowd together in the little pond,
yeah,
they don't grow as much. But on the other hand, if you replenish the water constantly, they'll grow up to 2 feet a year.
2 feet a year? Of course,
yeah,
it all depends on the...
And in the wild, they grow footier.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say it depends on the environment he's in.
I was giving you maximum rate.
I mean, would he grow... If you had him in a four-foot aquarium...
Well, it's bigger than 4 foot because he's four and a half foot himself.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is if he was in a four-foot aquarium and he was 2 feet long, would he grow the full 4 feet and be stuck like that?
First of all, they don't get stuck. They are happy in their environment. They don't have to roam around like chimpanzees or humans.
They can't just be stuck,
you know, like a rat wants to get away.
Yeah.
An alligator is happy as long as he gets what he wants. And he's happy to be king of his domain.
Has he ever bitten you?
If he bit me, that would be the end of our little experiment. And somehow he seemed to know that. But to be honest with you, he's a wild animal. You can't really know for sure what he's going to do.
I mean,
his terrarium, which, by the way, it took me years to get the terrarium, much harder than getting an alligator.
What do you mean when you go in it?
Well, it takes up half the room. And when I go in...
You've got an alligator that has one of your rooms?
Right. But the thing is, I take him out occasionally to let him roam around the house. And my wife has never bonded with him. Doesn't stick
to
care for him.
Do you blame her?
Why she'll lift her legs when she's reading a magazine. The kids pretty much just tease him or play with him. And after a while, he'll get kind of testy when he's had enough fun. And he'll give displays that indicate, leave me alone. And my daughter especially will a lot of times push him past that. And I warn her she's going to get bitten or something, but she seems to have her own little fun. She's never, none of the kids ever got bit, but my son did have to get stitches when he got bit by the neighborhood dog.
You're not concerned that this alligator will chomp your kids?
He won't. He never has.
Well,
and that's another
first
thing,
time.
Too. I've had some parents exclaim that I was endangering my children. Honestly, I don't think so. Because this gator, they have a built-in personality. And I selected from many gators, and I picked one that absolutely was not aggressive. If he was aggressive, he would have bitten me by now. And
well, that is true. He hasn't bitten anybody. That's kind of strange.
Years, I think that's a pretty good record. So the probability, the quantum probability that tomorrow he'll bite somebody is what?
If a little dog was in his aquarium or wherever he's staying, would he eat it?
Probably, if it looked tasty. And I'll tell you, we have a cat, and the cat is merciless in tormenting this alligator because the alligator cannot conceive what glass is. But the cat knows what glass is, so the cat will torment the alligator or whatever, tease him, and so he'll charge, and then he'll run right headlong into the glass, and then the cat thinks of, I don't know, I guess the cat is amused. The cat bites me, too, and I told the whole family, if the cat jumps in there, which he does occasionally, in the terrarium, and gets eaten, well, that's nature's law, you know.
But does the alligator go after him? Does the alligator, would the alligator eat him?
Yeah, he would, and I would say, job well done. I like the alligator. I don't care for cats. Cats smell, and they defecate and urinate all the time. This alligator only urinates once in a great while, defecates.
Yeah, but cats go in their own little box. They're pretty clean.
No, they're not. You're
going to have cat lovers all over you on that one.
Listen, when you walk into a cat person's house, you can smell it, buddy. An alligator is like having a purse or a belt. It's clean. In other words, there's no fur that has little parasitic fleas or anything. There's no fleas.
What's his name, anyway?
My wife named him. I don't know if I should say it on the air, but...
Wait a minute. Why is it a bad name?
No, it's not a bad name, but it has an innuendo.
Oh, it does?
I could tell you off the air, but his name doesn't matter. He doesn't understand English anyway. He communicates mainly by croaking. It's a kind of kind of sound. And once I discovered he could do that, I insisted that he communicate to me before I was going to feed him anything. And once he caught on to the fact that he could dictate what I fed him, then the game got interesting. The biggest trick I ever played on him, though, was I got one of those giant goldfish called the Japanese raised them. I forgot the
koi.
Name for him.
Koi. Koi.
Yeah, koi. I got him a koi that was about a foot long, and I used to feed him like 400 or 500 goldfish at a time. But instead of that, I gave him this one koi that was a foot long, and that was when he was only about 2 feet. And I thought, okay, he recognized it as a fish that he wanted to eat, but the fish wasn't about to just give in. And I gave him something to work on for a couple of days. He did eat it, but they can't chew, you know.
Would you ever turn him into shoes?
If he bit me or bit a member of my family, hell yeah.
All right. Spell his name for me.
Mastergator.
Okay, that's his name. All right, go heal.
My wife came up with a name. I honestly did not know what to name him.
Master
naming
Gator.
An animal is kind of silly anyway because they don't speak English, I don't think. I'm not sure that I could ever get him to follow verbal commands.
All right, you got triple bypass. Go heal for 7 weeks. Huh?
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye, George.
Okay, take care of yourself. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Farm from Tacoma, Washington. How you doing?
Good.
Now, I want to talk to you and ask a question about being at two places at the same time. I went to sleep, right? And then as I was laying down, my mind was just clear. And then I felt like the strong pressure in my third eye or forehead, if you will, and then shot straight into the atmosphere. And then I was at two places. I was awake, but at the same time, I was controlling it. I was telling myself, hey, take me to another dimension. And it shot to this dark space, and I could see, like, statue. But then I went to another dimension. It was, like, bright. All you could see is cloud. And then I remember asking myself, take me to my past life. And then what do you know? I went to this another dark world. It was, like, an ocean, and I fell right into it. but I could control it. And I kind of like, you know, wake myself up. So I don't know if that's an answer rejection or is that a lucid dream.
Well, it could have been a little bit of both. If you had your choice, which area would you have stayed in?
I would have stayed in the bright sky, but it was so fast, like, you know, like an orb, like the speed of light is going places. Like, it would take a rocket, maybe, I don't know how long, like a whole day to go in the outer space. But it just took me like 5 seconds. I just kind of had that feeling that my mind or soul just shot straight out. And then I was still just there calm, you know. But then I guess when I got scared, that's when I woke myself up, you know, because I didn't want to drown in that water.
No, you don't want to do that. Not by any means. By the way, tomorrow's special program on the Bilderberg Group with an investigative journalist. You know, Alex Jones has been on the show and has talked about it and has done a great job. But this is an award-winning investigator, and he's going to talk about this incredible influential group that somehow has picked presidents, set policy for the planet, and you do not want to miss that part of Coast to Coast. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Especially UCJ with those plans for that electrical engine that seems to run forever. We'll be back tomorrow night on our next program for Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.